Next up, we've got Barry Crabtree. Barry Crabtree and I used to and probably still should write the weekly reviews of OpenStreetMap. Don't know if anyone reads them on the amazingly good opengeodata.org blog. And we're looking for people to help. So if anyone fancies helping out, doing a summary of the mailing list, so that you can let people who maybe don't want to read every single thread, just to give people a general idea of what's going on OpenStreetMap. Seems to be quite popular, but it is quite a lot of work. So we're looking for someone to help us out with that, to lighten the load. You might win an O'Reilly book or something. So, Barry wanted to get a job mapping when he left school, but decided it didn't pay enough. Very sensible choice. So now he does it for free. Says he was inspired by a talk of Steve's that he heard a year ago, and since then he's been mapping parts of Ipswich, and since then he's got distracted by Bezier curves, which he put into Osmorenda. So the Bezier curves are thanks to Barry. So here we are, Barry Crabtree, with bringing maps to life.
Yeah, so I had this kind of idea when the conference was thought about, to bring maps a bit more live, make them a bit more lively. You know, things are a bit static. You get stuff now. You can kind of have animations of how the maps have been developed over time. But I kind of thought it'd be nice to do something different. I really don't know what I was thinking of when I had these ideas. But anyway, it might get a little bit weird. But bear with me on this. So anyway, this is the kind of stuff I did, and you see in Osmorenda. Before you had the maps looking like that, you know, the straight line segments joining them up, and I thought it'd be nicer to have them kind of smoother. So now they are. So I think it's nice. So, but that wasn't the point. That kind of missed the point by quite a way for me. So the whole point was having Bezier, because I think curves are nice. Anyway, so there's a whole kind of thing about form and function for anything. So you know, you've got this, which I think looks lovely. It's just great. It's just a little piece of art. I think this is the traces from the thing. Yeah. I was seriously inspired by this. You said it was useless, you know. I was seriously inspired.
Well, I made it, I'm allowed to.
But, you know, I kind of thought of arteries and veins, and yeah, it just kind of worked for me. But, you know, that's no use as it stands. And function-wise, boy, was I really impressed when I clicked on this to try and find out where a good parking space was. the railway station. So you know, great, fantastic function, but no use at all, like that. Just as the form thing, no use at all on its own. But if you kind of bring them together, and say produce an iPod or whatever it is, if you get the form and function mixed just right, and with maps, if you get the maps looking just right, you know they're so much better, so much more useful. So there's a kind of thing about, I don't know if my parents said, there's something either neither use nor ornament. So I guess that's the form and function thing. A lot of this stuff here is neither use nor ornament, but hopefully you can see where it might be handy. So I was into animating maps. I thought that'd be nice. The kind of map stuff, as I said before, time series stuff to make them look nice, well, yeah, that's great, and we could do that. But you've all seen that, so I thought I'd do something a bit different. So so if you've kind of had a bit of coffee or you've been putting the maps together for quite some time, that's might be what happens to them, or how you see them. So I don't know, I kind of thought that was my first foray into animating maps. In fact, no, that was my second, because the first one was this, when I had a bug in the animation. And it's sort of freaky. But for me, I kind of found something interesting in this, because after it's kind of randomly moved for a while, you don't get curves anymore. It's all kind of angular jaggies, and I don't know what was going on there. Maybe that's a PhD thesis or something for somebody. But anyway, so that's kind of stuff I've done. Anyway, so try and make things. So that was just completely random. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So this is. There might be some use in this. So yeah, for the colorblind thing that you brought up earlier, it's nice to have bits of the map that wiggle. You know. And so, if you want to look at a route, Well, why not? That's the obvious way to see a route, isn't it? So if that's a bit subtle, you can have it. We can make it a bit more obvious. Yeah. So stuff doesn't have to be static. So you might think, well, if I've got congestion on the roads and stuff like that, you might use this as to map it. So the wriggly stuff is where you can still drive, and the static stuff is where you want to stay away from. But well, it kept me amused anyway. Okay, so there was kind of a point to that, but there's no point to this. So I've just been messing around really. But this is kind of nice. So if you kind of get each point, each node in the map, and you just kind of move it around and have each of them move around out of phase, and you have these lovely Bezier curves that make it all kind of smooth, you can kind of watch that for hours. Okay, I can watch it for hours. Okay. And it just gets better, Just look at the way the road names kind of go up and down and kind of squirm about, and yeah. Yeah. So there's no point to that. Just in case you thought there might have been a point, there is no point. But why not? It goes on for about a minute, I think, or two. Yeah. Is that enough? You want to see more of that? So you can watch it for hours, can't you?
It's just... No,
that comes later. No, that's later. Anyway, so the other thing I was messing around with, like this kind of form function things and make things look nice. So if you've kind of got a map like this, this is an Osmerender wrap of the centre of London. I like the idea of, just kind of making them look a bit nicer. So if you imagine the sun shining on the roads and just moving round. You tell this wasn't London because the sun does not go from north to south. But I think that something like that kind of looks, you still got the same information, but you've lifted out the roads.
That's more useful because often a problem is orientation at a junction, which way you should go.
I think about this, why not render the map at the particular time of day that you want to use it and have the shadows in there? It's just the obvious thing to do. And that wasn't my idea, so a friend of mine told me that. But, if it's too, if the shadowing's a bit too heavy, then, just lighten it up a bit. So, it's this kind of subtle change to the map, but I kind of think that it adds quite a lot. Yeah, it's not a big change, but it's just a nice thing, and I kind of like it. And you could just have that to make whatever you want pop out of the map. Yeah, so whatever. So it's kind of going to go weird again, because that's as sensible as it gets. only a few more minutes. Anyway, so a bit of background. If you want to do this at home. So it's just drop shadows. They're supported by the filter mechanism, which is part of the SVG standard, but some of the SVG renderers don't implement it. So Inkscape doesn't properly, as far as I could tell. It certainly didn't render mine stuff all right. But if you use Batik, or I don't know if there are other renderers that handle the drop shadows or the filter stuff, you could use those. So, right. So that was as good as it gets. Now it just gets completely weird. And luckily, it's only a few more minutes. But so, yeah, better just see it, I think. It's best not to ask why. A lot of people have asked me why, and I say there is no point, but it's kind of amusing. Why not? Why not? So the whole point of doing this Bezier curve stuff, for me, was that as soon as I saw that map, or that form thing, which was just the thing that I thought looked like kind of arteries and veins, then it was kind of obvious to me that, well, you could kind of imagine that as sort of day goes to night, then stuff kind of comes to life. Okay, well. So if you've got this kind of sort of nice place, it's a part of Ipswich, sort of, you know, a nice kind of residential area. Well, yeah, that's how it's rendered at the moment. I like to kind of liven it up a bit, so this sort of drop shadows and a little bit of highlighting and try and give it a 3D look to it, so that it kind of looks a bit more, I don't know. Yeah. But then, you know, as kind of day goes to night, you know, you can kind of imagine this sort of thing start to turn into veins or arteries. Which I thought was quite nice. But then it really comes to life at night, you know. Yeah, still kind of starts to happen. So it breathes, yeah. Yeah, and it just goes on forever. It just kind of breathes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it, really. And I guess the point is that, well, there is no point. But yeah, once you've got the data, you can kind of do a lot with it, and you can do, I guess, as it says on the wiki main page. Yeah, you can use it for, I guess, creative, productive. I'm not sure, but I guess unexpected ways. So, okay.
I almost don't know what to say. Does anybody have any questions? One from there. We can get a mic up there. Like you say, I mean, this just highlights for me so many things about what OpenStreetMap's about, just letting people do stuff.
I'd love to be able to just getting the shock sensor on that and just be able to whack the side and have the whole map just ripple. Yeah.
Hi.
Sorry, there's a question.
Hi. What about moving dots on the roads?
Yeah.
Show, yeah, for example, so traffic jams, you could show points moving slower or uh-huh. something like that?
Yeah.
What about it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no problem at all. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Or you can make them wriggle.
Why stop at SimCity? I want a 3D game with this.
Yeah. I did think about having the roads kind of bulge out as there was traffic jams on them or something like that. So they just get fatter and fatter and think, yeah. And just yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point with the one you did as arteries, because, you know, these are arteries of traffic. If you have them really narrow and constricted to the ones with jams on.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and that's ideal, because then you just look at the map and it's obvious. Yeah. You've got just the information you need, and that's what it's all about. So, yeah.
Do we have another question?
Yeah, there's
another hand up over.
Yeah, there's a question.
Yes, I'm completely new to this, so I don't know. I mean, you're doing this at the server end rather than the client end, are you?
Well, manipulations. All these are pre-canned animations. So I basically frame by frame create each one of those.
So just speculating. I mean, if you could download the raw data onto your PC and you could have some JavaScript to automate one of many JavaScripts to automate it on your client, everyone could.
Oh, sure. You could create all this stuff. Yeah, the problem, I think I mentioned in one of the early slides, I think the beating animation probably took about 4 or 5 hours to render. Yeah, you know, the whole thing. It does take quite a while, but I'd like to have... It'd have been nice to just do everything on the fly and real time, but Java wasn't up to it, and it's going to take a lot of time to do that. But it would be nice to do that, just have it all interactive. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of... Yeah, I wanted to kind of grab nodes and kind of pull them, and then just let go and see them. Yeah, it's the obvious thing to do. Yeah.
Do we have another question for anyone? One more stand here at the front, then.
Well, it's not really a question. Well, you can say what you think about it, but I just think there's quite a lot in this. I mean, this whole thing of dynamic maps. And using a bit of a slice of time or, you know, a little bit more time to show more information. I mean, we talk about cartography, but that's all about a paper map to me, from where it's come from. And I think in some ways we're less restricted now. And, for instance, in a small space, get information about what's around by kind of sucking it in over time. Mm-hmm. Zooming out and zooming back in again, it's something you actually see. I mean, I think this is a really big thing.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Oh, thanks. Yeah. I think for me, these are all kind of quite humorous and there's not much point to them. But what I'm just trying to get over is that it isn't static anymore. You've got the data. You can do whatever you want with it. You can make it creative, make it as creative as you like, or you can make it as functional as you like. And now you've got this whole new dimension of time and animation to be able to do that. If you use it properly, you can pack in a lot more information. But you have to use it properly, that's the trick.
We'll take one last question from the front.
Can we use those drop shadows underneath bridges?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And on the existing maps, I mean, just, can you...
Oh, yeah, well, we...
As an illustrator bridge using a drop shadow because it's up in the air.
Oh, that's nice, yeah. Yeah, because...
Leave everything else on the ground.
Obviously. Yeah, I just... with this one, I just... everything that was roads or road-like was got the shadow. Yeah, because that seems a nice thing to do at the time. But yeah, that's the kind of intelligent use of that is to, you know, pop it in where it's most needed. There's kind of issues with the renderer. Just at the moment, it's just kind of fixing it. Batik is a much pickier with the SVG, you know, whereas Inkscape seems to be quite happier with it. So there's kind of a few things to fix there to get that right. And then, yeah, there's no reason why you couldn't render stuff with drop shadows or and particularly bridges and stuff. That'd be a nice idea. I like that. Yeah. Good.